Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
Guess what, Ellie?
What, mate?
We've got a TV legend on the podcast today. It is, of course, Kate Thornton. Hello!
Who's the legend?
Oh, you are Kate Thornton. You are.
Oh, my God, it's like Anne Robinson.
I mean, I thought you were going to say Gary Wilmot, but okay. I'll take Kate Thornton.
She's both wonderful and available, and she lives down the road from us.
I live down the road from you.
Oh my God! See, Ellie and I, and we have just recently been on Kate Thornton's podcast a mere 10 minutes ago.
Mm. Yeah. We've gone back to back, girls. Let's hit it hard.
Like. I know we're about seven. What do you say? How many sheets to the wind?
Well, in your case, 49.
Yeah. So the girls have just done one question time with me. That involves 3 glasses of wine. We're still drinking, so this would be glass number 4.
Yeah. This is when the real party started.
And do you know what 4 glasses is? That's 1 bottle each. Yeah.
She knows.
Just speak call yourself. Me Odd Bin.
We're on the Chablis, which is very nice. But I'm thrilled to have Kate Thornton in the house. Now, we met Kate about 3 or 4 years ago. No, and you were just wonderful. I was like, oh my God, you were exactly like you are on the telly. Just bright, funny, warm, lovely. And
pretending that you think everyone around you is talented. Because I'll be honest, it was a real thrill. I mean, it is always a thrill to see you because you're lovely, but I am a massive X Factor fan.
Are you?
Historically. So.
That's good. I know, I'm an X Factor fan too.
I mean,
you do see the full spectrum of talent that's out there when you host a show like that, for sure. And as much as we discovered people like, I mean, Leona Lewis, who's amazing. There were people as well that will stay with me forever. But, you know, you don't do a job like that unless you're up for being open to every kind of people. And even the people that would come on and you think, you know, their family's going, honestly, she sounds like Mariah. And then you go, oh, dear God. Do you know what? It doesn't matter because they feel good when they open their mouths and sing and they'd feel like Mariah. And if you feel like Mariah, fill your boots, my friend. That's a good thing.
Yeah. But just do it in the comfort of your own home.
Well, you know, and wouldn't necessarily encourage my child if they didn't sound like Mariah to go on TV saying that they did. Yeah. However, you know, I hope that no harm was done. Mm. I do hope that no harm was done.
Yeah. We once auditioned for Britain's Got Talent. Mm. Oh,
my
God.
How did that go?
So it was like you saw, like there were queues going up and we arrived in our gold cat suits, right? So immediately there were people with cameras on it going, you guys come with us. And they sort of filmed us and we felt a bit special because, you know, we stuck out.
Special in a good way?
We stuck out like a fat Oscar. That was what I would say. amongst, you know, the hopefuls, the magicians, the dancers, the
like a hard on at a funeral.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, obviously we didn't get through to any of the shows, but
what?
You just saw.
You say obviously, you're very talented women.
I think we're too talented. I mean, we would have had to rename the show. Britain's Got Too Much Talent.
And fair enough.
They didn't want to do that, so you know, I think that was that.
But you know, genuinely, when I was doing the show, and before that, I'd done 2 years on Pop Idol. So, you know, you're talking about sort of 6, nearly 7 years.
Because who were your pop idols then?
Well, there were only 2.
Yeah.
Michelle McManus and Will Young.
Will Young!
Yeah.
I thought he was on The Factor, Will Young.
No, he was Pop Idol 1.
Oh,
Will and Gareth with Darius in third place.
Oh, Darius.
It's a dream team. Darius Dinesh.
Yeah. Darius is the, again, national treasure. He's a national treasure.
It was wonderful, that show. Yeah. I mean, that, for me, if you're talking about like, moments in time, the first season of Pop Idol, it was wonderful. The whole country was talking about it. We were invited, me and Anton Deck, to go and advise Parliament on how to get young people to vote. Hello?
This is the best sentence I've ever heard in my life.
I know, because more people voted for Pop Idol than they did in the general election.
Oh, my God.
Wow. True story.
We need that you, Kate so Thornton. Go back to Parliament.
Depressing.
It's depressing, isn't it?
I want to kill myself now. Thanks, oh my Kate Thornton.
I'm elated. This is exciting.
Hey, Ellie, I'm going to take this night. I'm going to make it evergreen.
Do you know what? That's one of my running tracks.
Yeah. Is it?
I
love
Helen
it.
And I have mentioned that
we're running the marathon.
We're training for a marathon.
Sponsor them. Sponsor them. Sponsor
yes,
them.
We, sponsor us. Yes. And I, one of my running favourites is very hard gay house remixes of X Factor classics.
Amazing.
And believe it or not, there's quite a lot of them out there.
Oh, listeners.
Ellie runs around Dulwich Park to see your house.
I run Dulwich Park as well.
Yeah. We should all.
I go through Bel Air Park, up to Dulwich Park, and then back home. And then that's if I can't get to the gym and doing a few free weights at home.
Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get a big 80s ghetto blaster.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm going to carry it on one shoulder. We're going to meet in the park and we're going to do a run.
What's your expected playlist?
The Gay House remix of The Climb by Joe McElderry.
What a lovely lad.
I did a half marathon on Saturday and it came on in the last like 10 minutes and I was like, it's the climb. Doof, 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 doof. It's the climb.
You're so camp.
So good.
But yeah. So, I love your passion for the X Factor. Go on then. What else do you want to know?
Wagner, was that on your watch?
Wagner.
Was that posted?
No.
No, he wasn't. No.
Oh, okay.
No. But he was good, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That was for me because I.
Chico was mine.
Oh. Chico! Chico's from South East London, isn't he from Chico's, Lewisham?
Chico time, yeah. We still speak. We're in touch.
Is it still Chico time in Kate Thornton's world?
Always Chico time, babe.
This is exclusive, I feel. This is
There's never a bad time for
oh
some
God.
Chico.
Oh, my God.
Do you meet up and, like...
We've run into each other a few times, which has been lovely.
Do you always ask him what time it is?
No.
How can you not?
Because I'm not an arsehole, but you're welcome.
This is, again, it's like this sliding nice doors man. Moment. Just text
I love
us,
Chico.
Kate,
and what I loved about Chico was... when the right contestant finds the right judge who genuinely gives a shit.
Yeah.
And that was Chico and Sharon with Ozzy.
Yes.
Right? They loved Chico. They embraced Chico. They celebrated Chico. The Osbournes are such a lovely family. Sharon is a queen. I love and adore her.
She did once send someone a shit in a jiffy bag.
Not just once, babe.
Did you get one?
She did
no,
not.
No, she sends lovely gifts. No, but she did many times. She used to send people human shits. Or she'd get her kids to do shits or her dogs.
Why
if
not?
She was feeling a bit, you know, unable to.
And you're
to...
all right with that, are you? You don't think that's a bit next level?
I love her.
She's a character. She's a one.
I love her.
You sound like one of those people who write to serial killers in prison and get engaged. Like, well, all right, you did something bad. It's not the end of the world. I mean.
I'm sorry, but I just adore Sharon. I really do. And Ozzy and Jack and Kelly and Amy. I just think they are... They really are a wonderful family.
Just don't get on the wrong side of them. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Check your mail.
Oh, amazing. But I feel like we're getting sidetracked.
We are getting sidetracked because we are genuinely excited.
But who is Kate Thornton? I mean, who are you?
That's a very good question.
I don't know.
She's done telly. She's a DJ. She is now an amazing podcaster and an award-nominated podcaster.
I know, who could believe
it? Tell the listeners about that, Kate.
I know we keep getting nominated for awards.
Bloody
we haven't
awesome.
Won any yet, but I'm really chuffed with the nominations because we're only just literally, as we sit here today, a year and a week old. So
wow,
I'm thrilled. Yeah.
And it's white wine question time. We've just been on it. It's excellent. And I have listened to several episodes. It's so good. I would say if you're new to Kate's podcast, listen first to the Matt Goss episode because of Bros. It's excellent.
Oh,
and do you know what? It's great following you on Instagram. You're just always so sunny and smiley. And
no one wants to hear the shit, do they? Or do they? I don't know.
No.
I mean, I'm honest. Like, if, you know, when things are comically going wrong in life, then I will post the hell out of that because I think sometimes it's good for people to know and understand. And actually with the podcast, every week, I mean, we've been going for just over a year now, so I'm like 54 episodes. I talk about everything, the good, the bad, the ugly. And I think that's really, I think you have to. If you're gonna do a show like yours or mine, you just have to be real about it and you can't try to dress it up or stick a Vaseline lens on it. It just doesn't work. With social media, it's like, my rule is, I only follow people if I'd like them in my house. It's a good rule.
Very good rule.
Like, if you're not welcome in my home, then I don't want you on my feed. Simple as that.
Oh my God, we need to colour like at least 6,000 people.
He's a massive delete.
Should we end the episode? Have you got some? You got some work to do.
Anyway, that's tomorrow's job done. And I think, because you came to fame before social media,
pre-social media. Yeah. Otherwise, are you kidding me? I would not even want to go anywhere near this.
Really? Yeah.
Seriously.
So well, if your son, it was hard. If your son came to you tomorrow and said, "I want to do what you did, and I want to do telly and do all that," would you really say no? Don't do it.
I wouldn't say no. Don't do it. I'd say be aware of what comes with it. Mm. Because when I started, it was hard enough and there wasn't any social media. I mean, I left Smash Hits when I was 22 and we didn't internet.
So were you editor of Smash Hits?
Yeah, I was editor 21.
But, amazing!
But, you know, just to give you a kind of timeline of tech, and I know, Ellie, you know your tech, we didn't have email, you know. We had a fax machine and I had a pager and a mobile phone that came with a strap. And a freaking aerial that pulled up.
I worked for the Vietnam News, which even in 2002 was written on Word 2.0. Seriously.
I still write on that. What are you talking about? What's wrong with words? I had a fax machine at home, which I thought was super swanky. I was like, oh,
fancy pants.
Look at me. I had a friend's run, then you'd hear. Like, oh, sorry, just got a fax coming through.
Yeah. And I've got to make sure these Colour Me Bad lyrics are accurate or
I'm just
disaster.
Standing next to my giant swatch on the wall.
Sorry, my pager's buzzing. I must find a payphone. Yeah, oh, I mean,
my eldest son came in. We stayed at a hotel Saturday night. On Sunday morning, he wandered in. He went, "Mum." I was like, "What?" And he went, "Oh, there's only 10 channels on the television." I nearly threw him out the window. I was like, I remember when Channel 5 launched.
So do
I.
One
of the most exciting
with
days
the
of my
Spice
life.
Girls.
Sunset Beach. Oh, Family Affairs. Oh, what times we had. What times.
Did you get to be the editor at 21? That's amazing.
I started in the January, and I think just before Christmas, brilliantly take that announcement that they were splitting up. I was like, oh great.
Right.
And there was a bit of a pop famine, I've got to be honest. I mean, like, I rinsed the demise of Take That massively.
Yeah.
And then we had a very dry summer until suddenly Five Girls exploded into the office demanding coverage, and I loved them and they were undeniable and they were the Spice Girls.
Yeah.
Oh. Did you know the minute you saw them you were like, yeah, no, this is a
Yeah,
thing.
I put
Did
my
you?
Neck on the line for them.
Really?
I kept getting told, you know, girls don't sell magazines to girls. You don't put girls on the cover. I was like, nothing.
Who told you that? Was it men by any chance? Yes, it was. What a shocker. What an absolute shocker.
And I just said, look, nothing's selling magazines at the moment. We're literally stapling £5 notes to the cover. We're giving away, like, you know, free necklace.
Yeah.
You know, free this, free that. And I said to them, look, I can't give you a cover until you have a number one. But the moment you go to number one, I'll give you your first cover. And they did, and I did.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I remember it now, because they were in Japan when they shot it. We shot it in 20 minutes. I wasn't even there. And I flew out a photographer that I really trusted called Tom Howard. And I said to him, I know exactly what this cover needs to be. It's really simple. I want a bright pink colorama, so like a white, that's the color of the backdrop, bright pink. Mm. And I just want them to punch their way through it. And the cover line is kapow.
Yeah.
And it's like, they're here. And times have changed. It's all about the ladies now. I really wanted to be a part of that shift.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Jerry had kind of got me on the hoof in the office, because she came in and she was the most vocal of all of them. And she'd said to me, you've got to do this. You're the first woman in this chair. And you owe it to us. And I felt that sense of girl power, of responsibility, as ridiculous as it might sound. Mm. I honestly bought into it. They sold me on their manifesto of girl power. Mm. And I thought, actually, I'm the first woman in this chair. This magazine's been going for decades. It's for girls. Why has it never been edited by a girl? This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
We are women of our time. And my obligation, really, is to pay it forward and help other women. And it didn't work out as well for Shampoo as I would have hoped, but it definitely worked for Spice
Girls. Love Shampoo.
We're in trouble.
I mean, let us not forget, with no Shampoo, there would have been no Daphne and Celeste. Let us pay respects.
Or Biddy Boo doing the do. Come
doing
on.
Doing the do. She's a great songwriter.
Yeah.
Kathy Dennis, brilliant songwriter.
Did not know that.
Kathy Dennis wrote Toxic for Britney. She wrote
that is one of, that's
Can't
one
Get
of
You
my...
Out of My Head for Britney. For Kylie.
These are all my running tracks. Thank you, Kathy Dennis.
You Google Kathy Dennis.
We need she to get her on the podcast.
No relation to Stefan.
What a shame.
No. But so, would you have done the same in my position? You know?
What do you mean? No, I'm a massive sexist. I would have told the Spice Girls to go fuck themselves.
Women. No, but
would you have felt that
Where's same
five?
Sense of
Where's
obligation?
That man with a number in the title?
I like that. Many years after. I mean, they would live... I don't know. Would you have felt the same?
It's really interesting. There was a term that I heard last year by the wonderful comedian and local alumni, Jenny Eclair, of pulling the ladder up. And she said, I don't pull the ladder up.
No, I don't pull the ladder up.
It almost gives me chills thinking about that statement. It's such a powerful thing. It's like, I'm not going to pull the ladder up. Like, I've made my way up here and I recognise
where
you are. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. And it's such a wonderful thing to be able to do for someone to sort of empower them to follow you.
Well, I think, you know, we have kind of a responsibility. I mean, if you look at us in terms of... don't get heavy here because I know you guys are comedians. But
no, man, let's go heavy.
I love heavy.
Pass the wine.
Okay, we need more Chablis. Callum!
Have the talk juice. So I think if you track it back, right, we are the first generation of women who were probably university educated. Mm. We're of that era.
Yeah.
So if you think about our mothers, they probably had jobs that were vocational, like jobs rather than careers. And I think we're the game changers and we're building the roads out. I always refer to us as like the Romans, where we are literally carving our own path. Mm-hmm. And it's up for us to keep, you know, it's up to us to keep the ladder down so people can follow us. You don't build a road out and then put a bloody big gate on it.
Yeah. And also I think it's about, we have to recognise our privilege as white women as well. We have another privilege. That's another responsibility.
Huge.
That, you know, we have to think about that and, you know, I'm very right on person. That's what I'm saying. That's basically what I'm saying.
Ellie, I think you're absolutely right. Yeah. And we do have a responsibility to bring everybody along with us. Mm. And, you know, that doesn't happen unless people raise it as an issue. And unfortunately, the people that need to raise it are those in the position of privilege in the first place. And if you don't say it, it doesn't happen. Mm. And we have to say it because it has to happen.
Yeah. What I'm saying is we need more ladders. Everybody get all the ladders. We'll just get all the ladders. Nobody pull any ladders up ever. And we'll just get more ladders. And
the
then
metaphors
be fine.
Are amazing.
Oh, we're so meta metaphor.
I had a pretty poor education, I'll be honest with you. Mm. I had a terrible time at school. I certainly wasn't born into wealth. I am white.
Yeah.
Yes, you know, I'll give you that. We're a working class
and
family.
And blonde, that's 10 points.
That's not. He says it's real. It is, actually. But anyway,
do the carpets match the curtains?
They do.
Yay! Callum's been sick
Exclusive.
In his mouth again.
For the 14th time. So I had to really fight for what I mean, I remember saying at school what I wanted to do to a careers advice officer. Mm. And she literally scoffed in my face and told me to consider a typing pool.
Did you say, I want to introduce Chico Time on national television at 8 o'clock on a Saturday night? Did you say
Not
that?
Not quite.
Because I would have laughed in your face.
I want to tell stories. I want to be a storyteller. She said, what do you mean? I said, I want to be a journalist. I want to bring information to the world. That's the only thing I'm good at is English and... articulating people's stories.
Yeah.
And she said, don't be ridiculous. And she squashed me. And I think that's so wrong. I just don't think you can put ceilings on people.
No.
And so I like to think that I went on to do what I've done in spite of people like her.
So then how does that translate into your parenting? So you're saying you had a good upbringing and you were allowed to sort of do what you want to do. Do you consciously try and weave that into how you raise your son? Like, so how do you...
No ceilings.
Give us some practical tips, Kate Thornton. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know what I'm doing.
How do I do that?
No, I just think to just you know, teach them the importance of, like, self-belief. Because we walk around...
Is that by talking to them or is that...
It's in everything. It's about praising what they do well and pulling them up when they do it wrong. And explaining why. I think you can never just go...
So when you go like, that's a shit piece of work, do you know what I mean?
I would say you probably could have done a little bit better on that and here's why.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rather than that's just a shit piece of work.
But then here's why isn't because you're a little bit thick. Nothing like
that. No, just saying, if you've added that in and you do this, if you just put an extra 10% in, we always say, you know, finish a piece of work and I would say to my son, and now go back and go the extra mile.
Mm. And that's really great advice.
And that's it. And it's like, and that's always the difference between a C and a B.
Yeah.
You know?
That's it. One of my sons, I won't say which one, but one of my sons, his thing is, and we've talked about this with his teachers, just at parents, not as an issue, but with parents and whatever, his thing is he will sort of, generally, he's a bright kid, but he'll sort of do the bare minimum he can get
that's
away
so
with
boys.
In terms of
get over the line.
Work.
Just
that's
get
boys.
Over the line.
Yeah. He'll just be like, and if the teacher says, like, so these are the five... these are the five questions you have to do.
He'll do three.
And also there's two extra. And then he'll put his hand up and go, do I have to do the extra ones?
Yeah.
And she'll go, well, no. And he'll go, okay. And then he'll just do the five. Yeah. And like, I don't know how I feel about that. Like, I sort of feel
like... No, you've
got
to smash that out of him.
Have you, though?
I think so.
Or is there an argument that... I like that he's smart enough. Maybe this is me making excuses.
Is he smart enough, though?
I like that he's smart enough to have worked out that you don't necessarily have to do all of the stuff. And if you don't do all of the stuff, really, what is the harm? What is
okay.
the loss?
Well, yeah, you know, if that works for you, that's great.
I don't know if it does. I don't know.
I don't know. I just think, you know, if I'd have taken that approach in my own life, I wouldn't be here.
Mm. That's true. I'm like you. I'm like a grafter. I'm a perfectionist much more than either of my sons. I'm much more, I want to get it done and I want to do all the things.
I think as well, when you're a kid, you just don't know what's in you, what your possibilities are. And that never ends for me. I'm still learning. I'm still pushing. I'm still trying new things.
Yeah.
And I love that. And I think, my main gripe is, like, you know, people of our age saying, well, you know, there's no change in me now. I am what I am. It's like, no, you're not.
No, you're very malleable.
We're constantly progressing. Surely, yeah. We're learning. Our world is ever changing. Mm. You've got to keep pushing forward. I think you always try and do that. I mean, for me... It's not for everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really irritating to find that, you know, the person that's like, yeah, everyone else has gone home and I'm still here doing the extra mile. What a wanker. But that's worked for me. Mm. But I'm curious. I always want to go, well, those additional two questions, I wonder what I could do with that.
Yeah.
I don't mind the graft. I like hard work. There's nothing better for me. I don't think, because I don't sleep particularly well. And I have to read myself to sleep every night. Just to kind of empty my head. But I like to fall into bed exhausted and... I like to feel like I've given the day my best.
Mm, yeah.
And that could be trying to get the fluff off the skirting boards behind my bed headboard. It could be something I've written or something I've hosted. But I rinse the day.
And I feel the same. Like, everything you're saying, I'm like, oh, that's me. Like, that resonates with me.
But then we should push that on our children.
I would say, is that our personality types, though?
Yeah,
like, my husband is not that. You know my husband.
He's a lovely man.
He's a lovely man, but that's not
his
personality type.
His very bare minimum.
Type is not like, what can I achieve? What can I learn? What can I do? Like, you and I are. He's like, you know, okay, I'm pretty happy. What can I do to maintain this level of happiness?
I sort of admire that.
So
maybe that's what your son is.
I'm jealous of the fact that he can walk in our house, and if it's like dirty and messy, I'm like, and I can't really.
Oh, I couldn't sit down and relax in that.
Exactly.
No,
but he's
got to alphabetize a spy straw
and not see, exactly. I've got a spy straw to alphabetize, but he can walk in and not see that and relax, and I'm sort of envious of that.
I get you. I hear 100% what you're saying. And the way I sort of rationalise it with my partner is I say, I totally understand that you can walk in and not see the chaos, but I can't sit down until the chaos is gone. And I don't expect you to help clear the chaos, but please don't judge me while I am overly ridiculous.
Hold a minute.
And that conversation.
Yeah,
I was like,
and they'll just go, can you not just sit down? I've not seen you all day. I'm like, I'll sit down when it's done.
Yeah, and then my brain will stop
and
like,
then,
whirring.
But
yeah.
At the moment, you're talking to me and all I can see is things that need doing, so you're not going to get the best of me, so let me just be my neurotic best self whilst you are not, and you be you and I'll be me, and I think it's understanding, and maybe we need to pass that down to our children more, but at the moment, you know, when I'm saying to myself, you know, my son, I'll have exactly those same things. It's like, what homework have you got? I've got this, this and this, and then there's this, which is optional. Okay, what are you going to do with the optional?
Yeah.
And then he'll go, do you think I should do it? I'm like, it's for you to decide. What do you think? And you can hear him go, I should go the extra mile.
See, I think if I asked myself, I could hear myself going internally, you should do that. But I can hear my husband going, oh, it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a single parent, so there's one voice.
Yeah.
So I suppose I guess I'm kind of, my handprint is all over him, poor thing.
Yeah.
But that's
and I see, actually, I see a lot of his... I see a lot of me in him that I've probably put there, you know, nurture rather than nature. And I question sometimes whether or not that's necessarily a good thing, because sometimes it's exhausting being this busy in your head, you know. I find myself exhausting. I don't want him to be as exhausting as I am. My head never rests.
But you have downtime, though.
I do.
Yeah, and you make sure you carve out.
That's learned. You know, I've learned to do that because it's good for me, because otherwise, if I don't, it's not healthy.
Yeah. No, yeah. But you get that from a sense from your social media as well, that you really value your family time. And I know you work very hard. That's obviously evident. But you really value your time with your son and all that sort of thing.
That's what you work for.
Yeah.
It's really weird. When I started out, I mean, I've always loved what I do for a living, and I continue to do so. And I'm so lucky. I don't honestly feel like I've ever, with the exception of a couple of years, worked a day in my life. Mm. Because I love what I do. But it changed. The moment I gave birth, I literally left all that ambition in the delivery room. And now I work to live.
Yeah.
And I work for the holidays and the memory making and the sunsets that we look at and the adventures that we go on, because those are the things that make me really happy now.
What's really nice, because, well, you know, I'm not that I'm stalking you, slightly stalking you, but you've still got friends from that.
You've got that nice lamp in your front room. That really makes a difference. And I love what you've done with the bathroom.
Our son's
getting a haircut.
Same place in Dulwich, but it's fine. Anyway, but you've still got like friends from the good times.
Oh my God, yeah. I think probably the best way to describe it is that we are a collective, because we're a bunch of women who've been collected by each other. We've collected the best of the women that we've encountered, and they've become our people.
And the other ones, you've just had them killed.
That's They're just fine. Dead to me. Just fuck them.
Hive them off. Feed on the remains. Move on. That's the Kate Thornton way.
It's like McBusted, but for women.
Yeah. I would describe my friends as my muscles, because they keep me strong.
That's a lovely thing. Okay.
I describe my friends as my muscles because often they make me want to throw up, like I've got food poisoning. So that's nice.
They're a bit off.
Yeah. They smell a bit fishy.
That's right. And actually, you train for this amazing bike ride a couple of years ago.
Oh my God,
can you tell the listeners
Kerala.
About that? Yeah.
Well, that was born out of tragedy, really. Mm. Sorry to bring it down.
No, that's okay.
But a friend,
light shade.
But no, a really, really, really good friend of ours who was part of our collective called Nikki Waterman, who was a personal trainer. She passed away. And she'd asked us, as she was in the final stages of her life, would we do something that really pushed ourselves? And actually, she said, you know, will you run a marathon for me? I said, fuck off, I hate marathons. I hate running.
Idiots.
I'm doing that.
Absolutely.
Jesus
idiots.
Christ, no.
Attention seeking.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing that. But what we did agree, in all seriousness, we agreed that we would do something that really pushed us, that would bring us together to remember her, but push us and raise money and raise awareness. Mm-hmm. And so Denise went out and organized this bike ride. She said, it's Kerala. I said, oh, that sounds nice. It's better than a marathon, surely. And I said, well, is it going to be hard? And she went, no.
Do we all have to wear one of Jamiroquai's hats? Or is this beyond that stage?
And she said, she went, no, it's all around the coast. It's going to be lovely. And you can stop off and, like, if it gets a bit hot, you can swim in the sea. I was like, oh, that sounds amazing. What a lovely way to remember
Nikki. Lovely. What a lovely thing.
It wasn't like that at all. We got there. And I said to her, how much training should I do? She said, just do some spin classes. She'll be fine. And arrived in Kerala. And we never saw the coast. We were just, it was pure uphill. We did the equivalent of Snowdonia every day for 5 days in 40 degree heat and 87% humidity.
How was your fanny, Kate?
Ruined.
You Red had a...
As, like a, like a raw kebab.
I heard recently a term. She had a minjury.
I did. Do you know what I had to do?
Sorry, Callum.
This is probably more than you...
She had a
traxident. Brilliant. I'm trying to think of one and I can't. But what I did have to do... Do you remember, you know those compied blister plasters you put on your heels? I had to put one of those on my WhatsApp.
On which, on the hole or the...
Not
going
to go that far. You don't need to know that much.
Oh, I need to know. That's off. I need to know. Did you get a blister on your nubbin?
Oh, mate. Compied.
Callum, don't be sick.
It wasn't nice.
Oh, love.
Yeah, and dehydration and passing out. I mean, honestly, it was proper.
It sounds like the 90s all over again. Yeah. Blister on your nubbin, passing out, dehydration. We've all done it.
All that
PVC. Gosh. But where they sent us was where they send you to train before the Tour de France.
Right.
Like, I mean, we had altitude sickness. We went so high.
Oh my gosh.
Like, okay, going, Denise, you never said.
Denise.
They didn't tell me.
Oh, my God.
But it actually is entirely what Nikki would have wanted, which was for us to push ourselves and push ourselves
and
some more.
And be miserable and in pain. That's what she would have wanted.
She would have loved that. And it was, and you know what? Crossing that finishing line, and it was so emotional. Yeah. And we all got to about sort of 6 miles from the finish line, and we all came together. There was 22 of us. We said, let's do it together. and we cycled in silence. And then when we hit that, and honestly, all you could hear was people crying. And that was...
Or was that their clitorises weeping?
No, I think that was, it will remain one of those Rolodex moments when you're led there on your deathbed. I remember Kerala. I remember camping in spice fields and tea plantations and the smells and the torture of those bikes and getting back on that freaking bike with the compi blister plasters. But I'll never forget that experience. I'm so glad I did it. And I'm ready now for my next adventure. I don't know what that looks like.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Oh, well, there we are.
Now, let's swiftly move, because you talking about Kerala actually was bringing back memories of a couple of years ago. Ellie and I went with the brilliant charity Practical Action.
Oh, my God. I went with
Nepal.
Them too. Yes, I went to Nepal before you.
Oh, did you?
Oh, there
did.
We are.
No,
it's a competition.
because that's why we are... I forgot. That's
yes, exactly. Yeah.
Andrew, Practical Action are one of those amazing charities that are just totally unsung heroes, because actually what they do is far too practical to be sexy. And they deserve to be sexy because their practicality is awesome and ingenious. And it's about bringing the most practical solutions to the most difficult and deprived areas of the world. So you tell me about your experiences.
Yeah, so we went a couple of years ago to Nepal, and Ellie and I were asked to do a podcast with women who had been suffering from prolapses. So they were living up at the top of the mountain, and so many of the women during pregnancy or after giving birth were still working in such horrific circumstances, like carrying up water or rice or whatever to feed their children. And because of that, the strain on their bodies caused them to have horrific prolapses.
Wow.
And so we were
talking
about how Practical Action did the most amazing thing, in that they installed a pulley system so the women didn't have to suffer. The people in the village...
A pulley system is so simple, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, this is their whole thing. This is what I like. And they're like, it's not about just chucking iPads at the problem or food.
Or just doing a food drop.
What can we do that's a mechanical thing or a technical thing that people can manage themselves? So the pulley system is something that can be managed by the people who live in the village, and they can fix it if it goes wrong and all of this. What can we do that's practical that will help people's lives day to day on what looks like a small level, but actually on a massive level? If it means that your womb doesn't fall out and you don't have a miscarriage,
and
that's
your family
actually a huge thing.
Yeah.
And you get to grow up knowing you're alive for them.
Yeah, exactly. Or that the fact that they could bring down the produce that they had grown at the top of the mountain quickly down to the bottom of the mountain, they could sell the fresh produce, that they actually were economically independent and all that sort of thing. We were, when Practical Action kind of got in touch with us, we were like, oh, who was this charity? Because we hadn't really heard of them. And then when we found out what they did, we're like, oh my God, they are actually, as you say, unsung heroes.
They really are.
Yeah.
And a lot of their funding is match funded by the government, so they don't necessarily go out and raise as aggressively in terms of fundraising as some of the other charities. But that's changing, and they really need our support. It's about enabling communities to become more self-sufficient. So it's not like, hey, let's go and save people. It's
Exactly.
Let's go and help them to help themselves. Education and its tools.
Yeah.
So for me, it was the biggest killer, bigger than malaria in that region, was smoke. People were inhaling smoke.
Within the houses. Yeah.
Living inside the carbon dioxide. Houses where, the carbon dioxide would absolutely ruin them, and they would die a horrible and early death.
Yeah.
So they put flumes in. Really simple to make flumes. So you could go into a community and educate somebody how to make these flumes. Here's the materials. And then everybody could live in and carry on cooking as they were and heating their homes, but without killing themselves. Really simple.
Yeah.
So, like you, Kate Thornton, we're great humanitarians.
So good.
So we are supporting Practical Action. And their campaign at the moment is to help the people in North Darfur, because they're suffering because of... They had the war, obviously, and then they have climate change, which means they've got all this land that's very dry, and they need irrigation. And, again, practical stuff that just means they can build on the land and grow stuff on the land. And so that's their big campaign, and we're supporting it. And if you give to Practical Action now, before the 9th of March... It will be
match funded
by the government.
Now I've
which
done
is amazing.
Now hang on, here
now,
we go.
I've done the maths. Now,
now you had a problem with gift matching the last time we talked about this.
So say I give a tenner. What will you gift match?
So the government will give another tenner. Is that right?
Yeah, you've done it, mate. You've got
it. It's really simple. It's 50-50 match.
It's really simple, isn't it, Kate Thornton? Yeah. It's really simple.
Match funding,
it's
so of course.
You'd think it would be hard to understand. When
you call it match funding, it means that they will match what you contribute.
They match the funding, isn't
that's
it?
Match the funding. Helen, honestly, it's so straightforward.
Yeah, we give them the URLs.
Give them the URLs, yes.
Oh, my God. Is it the 90s?
It's practicalaction.org/turn-the-tables. Catchy. I see what they've done there.
Turn
it's
the
very
tables.
Good.
Oh, just
turn
Google
just
practical action, turn the tables.
And, we will do links in the podcast notes.
As will I. Exactly. As will I.
Good on you, Kate Thornton.
As they say in the gram world, I'll post the shit out of it.
Yeah, you will.
We love you, Practical Action. Thank you very much.
Yes.
All right, now it's nearly the end of the podcast. It feels like it's been going on for at least 6 hours. Anyway, but we like to end the podcast with a scummy mummy confession.
Go on,
really.
Yeah. Fess
all right,
up.
All right. Do you want me to start?
Please do.
So I was do we spew or poo? I mean, you decide.
Oh, both.
All right. Okay. The thing is, I recently went to Australia. I came back last Friday.
How's the jet lag?
Oh, fuck.
And more importantly,
so
how are your family?
They're okay. So I am at least a couple of hundred miles from the fires, but there were towards the end of my stay, I woke up and could taste. Burnt in my mouth, like the smoke is so intense. We were hundreds of miles from it, but you couldn't see. There wasn't much visibility because there was so much haze and so much smoke in the air, and it felt like a tree was on fire next to our house. I've had friends who just survived because the wind changed. And they were evacuated and had to spend nights in like a local sports hall, you know, sleeping on a beach towel. And my mum was at church last Sunday and the woman behind her was just sobbing uncontrollably because her family home of 4 generations had been burnt to the ground.
But it's horrific and my heart goes out to, it breaks to see the world on fire.
Yeah, no, it was extraordinary to be there because I was there for 3 weeks and I just arrived and only the Sydney fires were happening and then, everything just kind of...
lit.
Yeah.
I haven't stopped donating, but that doesn't that doesn't help. It just makes me feel better about a shit situation.
No, exactly. No, and you know, there's been amazing kind of prominent Australians, you know, like your Celeste Barber who is
30 million and counting. Brilliant.
Yeah,
good honour.
Exactly. And your Kylie's
and the Minogues.
And the Minogues, exactly right.
A lovely family.
Oh, Ian's my favourite, Ian Minogue. He's
Should I tell my... Oh, no. Anyway, I've got... Kylie has a house not far from my parents. I was very excited. I knew she was close, but we didn't
did
meet.
Did you feel her?
No, I just
she
felt
saw
it.
A parcel in the post office that said Minogue on it. That's the whole story.
I went to the post office to collect my parents.
To tell it. I've just told it. That's the story. You went to the post office. There's a parcel with Minogue written on it. That's the end of the
Kylie
story.
Kylie lives near my parents.
There's no more details are needed to... Well... From tragedy to scummy mummy confessions.
Yeah, anyway, all right. Do you edit this, by the way?
Oh,
just put it out raw.
No.
God for that.
We'll probably just cut you out entirely.
Brilliant. I'd love that.
Anyway, so I had arrived in Australia and I was like, right, I really need some time out, as every mother does, because I'd spent the entire... a plane journey. My daughter was sick the whole time.
You mean you weren't up front and she wasn't up back?
No. Sorry, Kirsty Alsop. Anyway, so I said, look, I'm gonna have a bath because I don't really have a bath in London. I took my Kindle. I was in the bath for 2 minutes. My daughter comes into the bathroom and said, "Mummy, I need to do a poo." Mm, she lays a fucking cable and then so stinky. And then my husband comes in going, "What have you done?" And he said, "Oh my God, she's blocked the toilet." He's like doing this.
Wait,
tapping.
Is this in the hotel? Is this in the...
This is my mother's house.
At least it's your mum's house.
This is my time out, Kate. And he's tapping it. The poo is not leaving. My son comes in. So there's now four people in the bathroom. Me in the bath, my daughter laying like the biggest log known to humanity. My husband baffled by the size of said log. And then my son goes, "Oh, you're in the bath." He starts taking off his clothes. He wants to hop in the bath with me.
Yeah.
Right. And then my husband, because he's an engineer, is like, "I think we need to solve this problem." It's like trying to dislodge the shit. And I'm like,
he's like on the phone to Practical Action going, "This is where
we need a solution.
Really
sanitary needs.
We need the opposite of irrigation, basically. That's what we need. How do you de-irrigate a toilet?"
This is Christmas Eve, right? And my mum...
Christmas Eve.
Yeah, we're going to have all the family over. This is the toilet that we all need to use. Matilda's blocked it. Anyway. And so after a long time of Will and I like poking it with things, my mum, 77 years old, she's been through... She's had five children, many grandchildren. She comes in, one hand, gets in, puts her hand in the toilet, pulls the massive shit out with her own hands, like, "Just get on with it." Pulls it out, flushes it off, washes her hand, is like...
And then stuff the turkey.
Makes the sausage rolls and we're all done.
Oh
my God.
Oh, that's a lovely story.
Isn't it? That's beautiful.
How's your Christmas case?
Yeah, I mean, I thought a broken back was bad. But yeah, yeah, you win.
Yeah.
Now, do you have a scummy mummy confession?
I mean,
for
I've set the bar high, but
that's
yeah.
really high. What, yeah. like a parenting moment?
Yes, a scummy mummy.
So I used to take my son as a result of being born prematurely, as I know your son was, Ellie, suffered with severe reflux. Did your son have that?
No, he just got a bonky eye, but it seems to be all right now. So
oh, that's
there's
good.
Always something, though. There's always something. Yeah.
So reflux means that you're really susceptible to just throwing up constantly. So, you know, East Dulwich Leisure Centre, the swimming bath there.
Yes.
So, yeah, I was determined that my son had it in his head from the moment he could walk that he could swim, and he couldn't. So I had to teach him to swim. It was like it was a life or death scenario. So we go to the local swimming bath, literally picking them up from the school gates. You're legging it across town. You're sweating. They don't want to swim. They just want to have a Twix or something. And you're like, "No, you can't have Twix. You've got to have a raisin. You can't have that until you've done your swimming because you might throw up." Anyway, blah, blah. And it's all the hot hell.
It is.
Right? And then they get in the pool and you think, "Oh, thank God." And you sit down and then somebody goes, and it, yeah, every time my son threw up.
Oh.
Which meant that no
evacuate
everybody out. Oh. And you know that at least 60 parents are in attendance who've been through the same hot, sweaty hell that you've just been through, and your child is responsible for evacuating.
TV Kate Thornton's son has evacuated the pool. TV Kate
Thornton. And the worst of it is, exactly, I'm off the telly.
Yeah. Yes.
So some people can just disguise their shame.
Dermot
would not have done this, mainly because he doesn't have kids.
He does not know.
Ollie Mers and Caroline Flack might have done this, but
they also don't have kids.
Let's not talk about it now.
The first time it happened, and it happened many times,
yeah.
In the end we had to go somewhere else. Mm. And he learned to swim, which is fine. But I'm literally trying to scoop the sick out with my hands, going, it's fine. And they're like, no. We've got to chemically treat it. And then they'd keep like two lanes free for these wonderful older people that were there. They loved their swimming, you could see that. And even they were being hooked out of the pool because my son's thrown up
because of your selfishness.
So yeah, I mean, not quite as elaborate as your huge
log. But only affected a small number of people. Kate,
yeah,
not.
I literally wiped out a community of swimmers.
Oh my god!
Right on your doorstep.
Well, there we go.
Oh my god! Thank you very much, Kate.
Oh, pleasure.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your podcast, White Wine Question Time, available on all the things, presumably.
All the things.
And where can people follow you, Kate?
I'm on Instagram as oh God, this sounds terrible, as the Kate Thornton. Only because there's an Australian weather presenter who's already got Kate Thornton.
Yes.
Or I'm on Twitter at Kate.
To be honest, that's who I thought we were having on. I'm a little bit disappointed.
I'm sorry about that.
All right, here we are. We're
screw
here
all the meteorology material.
Yeah, she
I've
is
got.
Well busy right now. And yeah, on Twitter, I'm K8_Thornton because I opened my account years ago and didn't realise you could make it simpler than that. The end.
Oh, it was a different time.
It was.
We are at Scummy Mummies, obviously, on all the things.
That's right. And our book is
still in print.
And we are on a mega tour in 2020. All dates and information is at scummymummies.com. Please rate, I've had too much wine. Rate, review and subscribe. That is a hard thing to say.
And go and see them. They're super funny.
Oh, we do all right. We do all right.
Now, you're really good. You're really, really good. Be modest. I think take the praise, honestly.
Thank you, TV's Kate Thorne.
They're really good.
I can take the praise all day long.
Well, I was giving it
Take
to
it
Helen.
Praise me all over my face, Kate. Don't
I'll
mind
swallow
if you
that.
Get it in my hair. The old
oh, my God.
There she is. There we go. And, of course, Practical Action. Just Google it. Just Google it. Practical Action. Give them some money. They're good.
Google Practical Action, turn the tables. And, honestly, you can be a really small part of a big solution.
Yeah. They're absolutely excellent. Your money will go to great things.
Give them some money. You will feel like a great humanitarian all day. Yeah. That's my promise to you.
And the government match it. It's really good.
Yes,
so you give a pound.
Like for like.
Yeah. There you go.
£10
got
plus
it.
£10.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Abby Wells.
At least Gabby Bells, I think
Gabby
you mean.
Bells.
Oh, amazing scenes.
All right.
Thank you, ladies.
Okay. Thank you, Kate.
Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yay.
Round of applause.
Oh, my God. We've been filming forever. Yay.
And also recording. But is there a big bucket list thing? Do you secret? Is there a thing that like?
Oh God, yeah, it doesn't end, and I just keep writing into it, you know.
Yeah.
If I said to you, right, you've got one bucket list thing. What would it be?
I would book a ticket around the world with my closest, nearest, and dearest, and we would travel and we would experience everything that we possibly could. And
amazing.
I don't want to go anywhere where there is anything that looks like tourism. I want to go and see the world, feel the world, experience other cultures. For me now, if money was no object and time was on my side, I would take a year out with the people that I love most, and we would go and taste everything, experience everything, swim in every ocean, climb every mountain.
Well, you live in Dulwich, I live in Catford. Listen, if you want to experience a different side of life,
I'll meet you at the Horniman.
Come over the hill.
We'll go for lunch in Peckham,
I'll meet you at the Catford Weatherspoons, then you'll understand.
I'm Finn. I'm not even joking.
It's a good pub.
I popped in to use the loo.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.